Welcome to the Claudio Relsano Show on ClaudioRelsano.com. Brought to you by Aspire Pediatric Therapy, Clearfield Jefferson Primary Care Associates PC, and Roscoe Hearing and Allergy Care Center. Claudio will be speaking to sports legends from the 70s, 80s, and 90s about their careers, business, and what they're doing now. He will also hold roundtable discussions with some old friends about trending topics in the world of sports. And now, here's Claudio.
Hello, everybody, and thank you so much for tuning in to the Claudio Relsano Show, brought to you by Aspire Pediatric Therapy, Clearfield Jefferson Primary Care Associates PC, Roscoe Hearing and Allergy Care Center. As always, I want to thank Rick Mitchell for the introduction and my great producer, Adam Zaloof. Today, we have a very special guest. I'm not going to call him a friend. I'm going to call him a family friend. I've known Jim Kaufman since 1995, if you can believe that, Jim. My dad loved him, and Jim was always great to my dad, myself, and my wife. And unfortunately, he hasn't met my daughter yet. But Jim Kaufman is a Major League area scout for the Oakland A's. Jim, thank you so much for being on the show.
Thanks for having me, Claudio. My pleasure.
All right. Before we talk about what you do now for Oakland and your thoughts on the game and a bunch of other stuff, tell us a little bit about your pro playing days.
Oh, well, I played at Portland State University, which no longer has a baseball team. Back in, I played basketball and baseball at a junior college for 2 years, and then went over to Portland State after that to play baseball, and was drafted by the Padres in 1980, and played in their system for a few years, and made it up to AAA, did not make it to the big leagues, and was pretty much out of baseball for a little bit, at least as far as professional baseball, and had a semi-pro team in Portland. This was before independent teams were up and running, so we had a lot of good ex-minor leaguers and whatnot. We kind of barnstormed around the Northwest, and I coached that team and played on it, and kind of kept me in the game long enough to get some recognition with a guy who owned a few independent teams, and his name was Bruce Engel. And I think at the time when I met him, he owned about 10 independent teams, and mm-hmm. he asked me to manage one of his independent teams, which was back in Johnstown, Pennsylvania, which is where I met you.
Right. Now, because I remember that name. Is he still involved in independently baseball?
You know, no, I don't believe he is. He was a big timber guy, bought up a lot of sawmills and whatnot when the lumber industry was really down, and then brought them all back and, made a fortune and was very wealthy, and I'm sure he still is. I've kind of lost touch with him, but, kind of a secretive guy. I don't know really if he still lives in the Northwest or not, but he was very good mm-hmm. to me and gave me that opportunity, kind of kept me in the game, and stay in it a little bit. Sometimes good things happen, so I'm still doing it.
Yeah, that's for sure. Now tell us about your time in Johnstown. Johnstown it was a big time steel mill area. When you were there, obviously things were kind of down, but the Johnstown Steel was a very popular team, and I loved the atmosphere. It was a great place for Frontier League baseball. How was your experience there?
You know, it was great. I look back on that. My kids were, geez, I think we came back there. My daughter was 3 months. My son was 3 years old.
Wow.
So it was quite a deal to, pack up, and we rented our house out in Portland and came out mm-hmm. and, just our family. And so it was a little, I guess you could say it was a little scary to do something like that. But looking back, I'm very glad we did that, because kind of restarted my second career in baseball, which was post-playing days. And, learned so much just by having that role as manager and player development, and kind of wore a bunch of hats back then with that, and
right.
Running camps is where it was actually where I met you. You helped me do two tryout camps and set those up for me. And that's where we became friends, and obviously got to meet you and your family at the time. So that was great. Looking back, how young I was and how fiery and I think I kind of had a me against the, or us against the world type mentality. So, you know, I'm not saying that's the greatest way to go about it, but it, you know, it sure drove me to try to do well. And I think we put together a pretty good team, made the playoffs that year. But, you know, looking back, I'm sure I made a million mistakes and probably didn't handle certain situations the best way I could, but, you know, that's all about being young and learning lessons throughout life, like anything else.
Well, I think you did a great job there, and everybody was crazy about you and the team, and the atmosphere was great. I mean, it reminded me, you know, the old show Bull Durham and all these other shows, and they had a great stadium, Point Stadium, which is a very historic ballpark, and it's where it was sitting. You know, that those, you can remember, you see the incline and the mountains. I mean, and my team has played there a couple of times at Carnegie Mellon. And obviously I think of you there and walking through the under halls of the building, but it's a great ballpark. I mean, compare that ballpark to, I mean, obviously you've coached and been in some updated venues, but that one had to be a little special to you, I would think.
Well, you know, when I first got there, obviously I heard about all the people that had played there in the past and the history, which was incredible. And then that year they had allocated a lot of money from the city to do a lot of improvements. So I was there when the bulldozers and everything were still out there, and they were moving things around and fixing the park up and putting in drainage systems and whatnot. So I got to watch all that happen while we were assembling the team. And what really sticks out was just, you know, the wooden bleachers, the nostalgic feel, right, just when you walked in there, and how small our clubhouses were. And, you know, obviously they were pretty creative in making the best for every little inch that they had in that ballpark. And then, of course, the angle from the ballpark, you know, how deep it was in center. I can't remember that, but I believe it was somewhere around 420 to dead center. And then, It was about 280 to left, down the left field line with the big high fence and net.
Right.
And then it jetted in from right field real close, but it jetted straight out almost towards center after that. So your gaps were pretty short, really deep in center, and that didn't. And down the lines were very short. And then that high wall and left, which I still remember a few guys hooking balls around that fence that would have probably been, you know, 20 feet foul on a regular ballpark, but they could sneak one in on occasion, or a right-hander could inside out one down the right field line and get it inside the pole. So it played, I would imagine it's about as unique of angles of any ballpark in the country. So,
right. But and if I'm not mistaken, they filmed that. They filmed the movie All the Right Moves there. Am I right?
That's right. Yeah. Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah. I've watched that a few times over the years, and you still get pretty good glimpses of the stadium and
Right.
And then, of course, we lived right at the top of that incline. My wife,
that's right,
and kids.
Yeah.
So I took that.
I still remember that house really well. Yeah.
And it was haunted, by the way. I know. I know.
I remember. You, talked about that. I remember you telling me.
Yeah,
I remember
that was a different story.
And my dad, when you mentioned that, I probably don't remember, but you told him it was haunted, and he said, "That's okay. I have a gun permit, and I'm ready just in case." Dad, I don't think if it's haunted.
Yeah, that's your dad.
I don't think. I don't think a gun's gonna matter. But
no.
Yeah, but we used to come to several games out that way, and matter of fact, I mean, my dad, if you remember, he used to have a little bit of a hard time going far places, and he overcame that. And one of the things that helped him overcome that was going to Johnstown. And the main reason why he went to Johnstown was because of you. He said, "No, I want to meet this guy," because I told him a bunch of things about you. And it was a little bit of an effort, but then he got used to the trip and he loved your family. And so we were able to come down several times. And so that was definitely,
you know, I can visualize your dad, remember his voice, his demeanor, everything about him was just so pleasant. He was such a great guy.
I appreciate that.
You love him.
And you
a
gave
lot.
Him a hat. You gave him a hat. He always wore that hat. Yeah. But yeah, we were very close. And at the end of every show, I always thank him and my mom because without them, obviously, I wouldn't be doing what I'm doing today. Sure. But, yeah, he was crazy about you guys. And I remember one trip, it was, geez, I think you left around 1:30 in the morning, a bus trip. And, you know, we followed your wife and kids home and were on the porch. Geez, I don't know for how long. I didn't get back home till like 4:30, 5 o'clock in the morning. But, yeah, those are things that you always remember for sure.
Oh, yeah. Good times.
Yeah,
good, sure. I've got a few pictures of those days. So, you know, and another great thing, another good friend I stay in touch with is Dana Heinze, which we hired as our clubhouse guy. And, you know, of course, he's still with the Pittsburgh Penguins and has been on several championship teams and won the cup a few times. And we stay in touch. And, of course, Mike Moore and then you know, few of the players I still stay in touch with as well. So a couple of them are scouts actually.
Yeah. And that was a good group for sure. But on that note, we're going to take a quick commercial break to hear from our sponsors, Aspire Pediatric Therapy, Clearfield Jefferson Primary Care Associates, PC, Roscoe Hearing and Allergy Care Center, and Dreher Physical Therapy Institute in Wexford, Pennsylvania. We'll be right back with Oakland A's scout, Jim Kaufman. The Claudio Rossano Show, brought to you by Roscoe Hearing and Allergy Care Center, giving you superior allergy care for over 20 years. Located in Dubois, Pennsylvania, please call us for all your hearing and allergy needs at 814-375-0455.
Has your child been diagnosed with an autism spectrum or developmental issue? You're not alone. Aspire Pediatric Therapy has been helping families for over 10 years and has three convenient locations. Through love, laughter, and play, the Aspire team provides occupational speech and feeding therapy using the area's only state-of-the-art sensory motor gyms. Aspire will treat you and your family like family. Don't settle for less. Call 412-474-3566 or check them out on the web at AspirePediatricTherapy.com.
Aspire Pediatric Therapy in locations Moon Township, Pennsylvania at 993 Broadhead Road, Suite 10, and Banksville at 2893 Banksville Road, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, North Hills area, Pines Plaza Shopping Center, 1130 Perry Highway, Suite 120, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, and the Punxsutawney area, 1464 North Main Street, Suite 14, Punxsutawney, Pennsylvania, and the city of Pittsburgh in the north side, 1301 Beaver Avenue, Suite 10, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. And remember to check out their website for all of their information at AspirePediatricTherapy.com. Dr. Brandon Roscoe at Clearfield Jefferson Primary Care Associates, PC. Call Dr. Roscoe at 814-503-8070. Great guy, somebody who I've had a great opportunity to meet, and I appreciate him and his sponsorship. And again, somebody you should definitely look into in his practice. Dr. Brandon Roscoe, Clearfield Jefferson Primary Care Associates, PC, 814-503-8070. Okay, Jim, now you were at Johnstown, what? 2 years, 3 years?
1 year.
Oh, 1 year. No, just the 1 year, that's it?
Yeah, I was there in 96, and the owner sold, I think he sold the majority of his teams. He might have held on to a couple of them. And then I ended up going over to Evansville, Indiana the next year. So I was in the league 2 years. I was hired over there for the Richmond Roosters the very next year.
Right, I remember that, yeah.
Yeah.
After you left, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, that was it. I mean, Johnstown for the '96 season, and you know, we had a good year, a good team, and we lost that heartbreaker 2-1 to, I think it was Chillicothe, which had a really good team. I think they went on to win that year, but yeah, we had a 1-0 lead. I'll never forget it, and. Had a couple misfortunate plays and an error, and then we had to load the bases up and didn't come out to try to get a double play to end the game, and we didn't get it done. But you know, we were right there. We were knocking on the door of the championship that year. So team was a very good team. One inning away from getting into the championship. So Dana and I talked about that all the time.
Now, if you won, you probably wouldn't have talked about it as much as you did when you lose. Those seem to stick.
Yeah,
in the back.
You very
of your
seldom
head.
Remember wins. You always remember the gut wrenching losses. For some reason, that's how we're wired. At least I am.
Now, after Evansville, that's when you started with Oakland, correct?
Yeah, two years later, I started as a pitching coach with the Oakland A's, and he spent 9 years doing that. And then after I was, 2004, 5, and 6, I was in Midland, Texas, in the Texas League as our pitching coach, which is the Double-A. And we're still there, still our Double-A team. And then got off the field and became the Northwest Area Scout and have been doing that ever since, so which was a great move, and I really appreciate the Oakland A's for allowing that to happen. You know, my kids were at that age where I was starting to miss quite a bit of their lives, and to get away from the coaching side of it and spend more time at home was a blessing. So,
yeah, I remember that was tough on you because you obviously you had to be gone a lot, and people think, he's with a professional baseball team, and the sexiness. Yeah. Of it, but they don't understand that you're away from home. I remember we waited for you, and this was back in Johnstown again. We waited for you to come out of the dugout after a game. And I remember my dad and I just watched you leave to go on the bus. And your kids, like you said, were little babies, and your wife. And my dad said, geez, that's got to be tough on everybody. And people kind of don't look at that. Yeah. So there's a lot of sacrifice involved for sure.
There really is. Minor league baseball at any level, independent or otherwise, is like you said, it's not as glamorous. I mean, obviously the rewards to, for a player to put that effort in, and even if they don't make it, the lessons they learn in life and whatnot, but just being in the game and getting after it every day and, makes these, it just really brings a lot out of players later on. I think a lot of them draw on some of this stuff later in life and, some of the hardships and realize that they've got through it. But I've told people a lot, I said, when you're on a team, either as a player or a coach, it's almost like being on a submarine. I could imagine in the Navy or what, you surface, you play, and then you get back on that sub and you go underwater for, you're back on the bus, you're in their hotel room. There's not a lot of activity outside of being at the ballpark. And sometimes it feels like you wake up and you're back in uniform and you're constantly at the ballpark. So it's like any other job, I guess,
But I didn't do anywhere near as much traveling as you, but when I go away, people say, oh, you were in Rhode Island or you were in New York or wherever in Florida. I don't see anything. I've been to Florida maybe, 25, 30 times. I was at the beach maybe once, twice. And I, to be honest with you, I didn't want to go because unless my family was there anyway. But like I always tell people, you see airport, hotel, baseball field, and maybe a couple of restaurants. And that's it. You don't really do much sightseeing or anything. You don't have time.
Absolutely.
Some of the guys, how about some of the guys, the names that we would recognize that you worked with, pitchers especially, in your career?
Obviously a lot of them, a lot of kids do end up making it to the big leagues, and a lot of them, I don't know how many big names, I've spent some time with guys like Joe Blanton, had to have him for a couple of years in Double-A, and John Reinecker, who pitched in the big leagues, Rich Harden, Ronnie Flores, a lot of these guys, those are the guys that kind of pop up in my mind immediately because they didn't come out of college or whatever as real high draft picks, but maybe Blanton did. I think Blanton was a supplemental pick, but was fortunate enough to be around some of those guys and, you know, several players that were in the dugout at the time that made it to the big leagues, you know, Travis Bucks and guys like that, Nick Swisher and that whole Moneyball group, which was pretty famous because they were in the book, and some of it was mentioned in the movie, but those guys were all, you know, pretty famous just for being in that famous draft where we had all those high draft picks and how the A's, you know, went about drafting those certain players. And, you know, mm-hmm. you look back on it, it was pretty successful. I think they don't get enough credit for, you know, guys like Swisher and Jeremy Brown and some of those kids, Tehan and those guys that all made it to the big leagues and had good careers. So
now you mentioned the Moneyball thing, and the A's are obviously known for that. They're the ones who kind of used it the most, I guess you could say, or at least brought it to prominence. Is that philosophy still? I mean, obviously, I think a lot of teams are doing it, but what are your thoughts on that? And did that make you? Did you have to scout players differently because of that philosophy?
No, I don't think so. You know, we're scouting tools and, you know, trying to find kids that have the talent to get there. And then by the time they get to the player development side of it and whatnot, you know, obviously the game is changing right now with, you know, the spin rates and the back launch angles and things like that. But, you know, you're still scouting tools. I mean, kids in certain positions need to run, certain positions need to have power. You know, once they get there, then if player development wants to make those adjustments. But we're still looking for, you know, the fastest, the strongest, the kids that recognize pitches, the balance, the, you know, all the typical tools that a scout should look for. You know, we talk about five tools, but, you know, actually one tool can get you to the big leagues. If you can hit, you're gonna play. So, which is the case with, you know, a few guys out there now. I think some of them maybe have one or two tools, but it's, you know, it's enough to sustain them in the big leagues. So,
right.
But as far as other teams, I think the analytics are definitely a big part of the game, and they should be. There's so many underlying elements to our game. Who can and who can't play it, that I think it just there's so many smart guys on our team, I can tell you that. Kids that, you know, are very intelligent, that can break it down and look for it and see it. And but at the end of the day, obviously, guys have to perform. And but there's also analytics that kind of give you a forecast on who is going to perform in certain situations and whatnot. So it's pretty interesting. It's opened my eyes here the last few years as well. So, but as far as my job now, I'm just looking for those guys that stick out, you know, the prettiest girl in the room. It's basically
right,
what it is.
Right.
You show up and you look for the one that sticks out. So it's still fun and rewarding to get out there and look.
Good. All right, well, we're going to take another quick commercial break to hear from our sponsors, Inspire Pediatric Therapy, Clearfield Jefferson Primary Care Associates, PC, Roscoe Hearing and Allergy Care Center, and Dreher Physical Therapy Institute in Wexford. We will be right back with Major League Area Scout for the Oakland A's, Jim Kaufman. The Claudio Rossano Show, brought to you by Roscoe Hearing and Allergy Care Center, giving you superior allergy care for over 20 years. Located in Dubois, Pennsylvania, please call us for all your hearing and allergy needs at 814-375-0455.
Has your child been diagnosed with an autism spectrum or developmental issue? You're not alone. Aspire Pediatric Therapy has been helping families for over 10 years and has three convenient locations. Through love, laughter, and play, the Aspire team provides occupational speech and feeding therapy using the area's only state-of-the-art sensory motor gyms. Aspire will treat you and your family like family. Don't settle for less. Call 412-474-3566 or check them out on the web at aspirepediatrictherapy.com.
Dr. Brandon Roscoe at Clearfield Jefferson Primary Care Associates, PC. Call Dr. Roscoe at 814 503-8070. Great guy, somebody who I've had a great opportunity to meet, and I appreciate him and his sponsorship. And again, somebody you should definitely look into in his practice. Dr. Brandon Roscoe, Clearfield Jefferson Primary Care Associates, PC, 814-503-8070.
Dreher Physical Therapy Institute is a leader in the field of outpatient physical therapy, specializing in orthopedics and sports medicine. With over 30 locations in Pennsylvania and one conveniently located in Wexford, Pennsylvania, we are excited for the upcoming opportunity to expand in the local Pittsburgh market. Our therapists are dedicated to compassionate care and superior results and are ready to serve all your physical therapy needs. For more information or to request an appointment, visit us on the web at www.dreherpt.com/locations.
Okay, we're back with Jim Kaufman. Jim, you touched on it a little bit, but what are your thoughts on the game today as far as, now you mentioned the spin ratio and the launch angle. So what are your thoughts on the game as far as like even the pitching changes? Or in Oakland, I believe is one of the teams that uses the opener, which is a guy who will go one or two innings. It certainly has changed from, I'll be 55 in October. I know you're around that age as well. You just look a hell of a lot younger. But it's different than it was when we were coming up. Do you like it? Are there some things that they're overboard on some things? I mean, what are your thoughts?
Well, I think the first thing you recognize with today's game is how strong these players are. I mean, if you right. just watch any random Major League Baseball game, the size of the players, the strength these kids have, they obviously spend a lot of time in the weight room year-round, which is completely different than when we played. We were actually right. told to stay away from the weight room. You'll hurt yourself. So we just, we were like track stars. Seems like all we did was run. But it's an explosive sport. So, pitchers are doing a lot of leg work. The hitters are, doing a lot of squats. The pitchers do a lot of squats. So it's really a core strength game. If you look, the batting averages are down. The home runs are up and the strikeouts are up. So with a lot of these analytics, guys that can pitch at the top of the zone with a four-seam fastball that have that kind of riding life, as we call, they have success up there. And sinker ballers and guys that keep the ball down in the zone, are still valuable. But, there's a lot of missed pitches that guys are hitting out now. So, we hit, I think Oakland A's hit 7 home runs last night. And the home run numbers are just going through the roof here. But if you look and if you watch the World Series last year, one thing I noticed was how many times catchers were setting up really high in the zone and almost, like right underneath the hands, they would flash a target. And if you can get the ball there, with guys that, like the Donaldsons that kind of brought this on with their swing angles, a little more upward, it's tough to handle that fastball up in the zone. And they are fastballs, because if you look at the gun readings, every team has guys throwing 100 miles an hour now, and several teams have several guys that throw that hard. So it's so specialized. If you can get 6 innings out of your starter with a lead and get to your bullpen, there's a – the chances of you winning that game are pretty good. It's instead of having just your closer and maybe a setup guy or two, it seems to me now most teams have 4 closers almost, maybe a 1 inning guy or occasionally bring the lefty in, but these guys throw so hard. I sometimes wonder if, matching up lefty and righty hasn't lost a little bit of its, past, ideology, I guess. So you can still bring a guy in throwing 100 from the right side facing a couple lefties. It's pretty right. tough to center up that baseball. But
now in the baseball world, in the baseball world, they say, you know, this guy's a thrower or he's a pitcher. Do you think there's more throwers now or more pitchers? I mean, guys who can nibble on the corners. I don't see the breaking balls as much. I mean, I can think of some guys, I mean, a Gooden or a Rob Scurry, if you remember from Pittsburgh, had an unbelievable left-handed curveball, or a Bert Blyleven. I mean, it seems like these guys are just rearing back and throwing as hard as they can. And not all of them, of course, but I mean, as a whole, I don't see as many breaking balls and change-ups and things like that. What do you think?
Yeah, I think maybe later in the games when you do get those power guys coming out. But obviously, you know, you still these starters have to, you know, they have to change speeds and locate and keep guys off balance. So I think for the most part, who's the starter for the Cardinals? I just watched him pitch the other day. The kind of remade himself. He was a power pitcher. Anyway, I watched him throw the other night, and, you know, he's kind of reinvented himself. You know, he still has a great curveball, but he, you know, he sinks it and runs it and you know, elevates his fastball. And I think he's turned into a really good pitcher. And he had the injuries where he was out of baseball for a couple of years. And I wish I could remember his dang name all of a sudden. But he, you know, there's still guys like that. And you look on our side, I mean, Brett Anderson, who pitched another great game last night. And, you know, he's not overpowering. He knows how to pitch. He uses three or four pitches and a little cutter. And, you know, he's always had a really good curveball. But, you know, he's staying healthy enough to where he can stay out there and get through the lineup two or three times. And it's pretty fun to watch. And then you bring in the, you know, the big power arms in the seventh, eighth, and ninth. So those guys, I think he went seven last night. And, you know, gave the bullpen a rest, and anytime you can do that, it's still pretty valuable. So,
when you said the word reinvent, the guy who came to mind right away was Frank Tanana. If you remember him, he could fire. He was with California. He was a fastball pitcher, and I guess because of injuries, he became like a real junk pitcher. But he prolonged his career. I mean, that was out of necessity. What was that? Was it Hernandez you were talking about for the Cardinals?
No, maybe not. Big, tall, 6'5", right-hander.
That's bothering me now. You mentioned his name. It's bothered me. Yeah. Who it was.
It's bothering me, too, because I've actually followed him for a while. But anyway, yeah, so some of these guys, you know, I mean, starting pitching is still valuable. Obviously, when you get into playoff season, you know, it condenses down to a little
– right.
A little bit different, you know. Some of these games are, you know, one game to keep your season going, and then you get into the the 7-game series. But for the long haul, I mean, you know, you're still going to need good starting pitching. You can't rely on these bullpen arms every night. They do need rest, like, you know, everybody else. But you know, the hitters have obviously gotten, their swings are so short and they're so strong, and there's just not a lot of moving parts anymore with these hitters. I think back to the days when we were kids watching these guys, you know, with the narrow upright stance, you know, a lot of diving, but you just can't have that much movement because you're facing splits and cutters and sliders, and the cutter is, you know, is the slider of my era. Guys that had good sliders were very good and devastating, and now these, some of these guys with these cutters, they're throwing them 94.5 miles an hour. And if you watch it, it's almost amazing that someone can actually put those balls in play. So the hitters are, you know, really, they're advanced. The pitching has gotten, you know, the velocity is obviously spiked. So it's just, the game has changed a little bit, but I honestly think that, you know, a pitcher that can mix it up and locate and change and keep guys off balance a little bit, they're still going to be very valuable. So.
Right. You know, you mentioned size earlier, how big. When I was growing up, I mean, guys like Dave Parker and Jim Rice, they were considered Adonises. But if you look at them now compared to some of these guys, they just look like, I don't know, shortstops. I mean, and they were big guys. You know, they were strong guys.
Sure.
But they definitely are bigger, without question. Now, a question that I get all the time, and I want to ask you this question, is all these pitchers, none of them are throwing the innings that, again, the guys that we grew up were throwing. I mean, forget about the Hall, forget about the Seavers and the Carltons and the Palmers, but this, I don't know, for the lack of a better term, the secondary pitchers, the other guys used to have 10, 12, 13 complete games. And now, you know, if a guy has a complete game, he's the lead story on SportsCenter. But there's a lot of injuries, and everybody's getting Tommy John, or this guy's gone on the disabled list or injury reserve, whatever they call injury list. Why do you think that they're throwing less, but there's more injuries?
Well, I just think everything's gotten so advanced. You know, now you're paying a closer, you know, as much money as you were a starter. And so if you're going to pay him that much money, and if he's worth that money, you're going to use him. And I don't think anybody wants to lose a game in the ninth just because they're trying to, you know, get their starter through to throw a complete game. So, you know, like I said, it has gotten specialized, but these arms coming out of the bullpen, and if you do look at it with the analytics, I mean, you're crazy not to bring in a guy like, you know, some of these arms that are coming out of there. It's really in your favor to have them throw one inning against, you know, maybe the middle of the lineup or whatever. So, but on the other hand, you like I said before, you are seeing a lot more home runs because, you know, everybody's swinging, their swing path and whatnot is conducive to hitting home runs. So,
right.
You know, the numbers are, I think right now major leagues are on pace to just shatter even last year's records, for home runs. So, if that's where the game's going, then, you know, that's where it's going. But, you know, it ebbs and flows. There's going to be, you know, there are going to be some smart guys that figure out how to, you know, which they already are. I mean, guys are pitching at the top of the zone with, you know, good spin rates and guys getting, you know, there's a lot more strikeouts in the game right now. So,
do you think that's what's causing the injuries? Or they're just throwing too far? I mean, because they said they're throwing less, and there's more injuries, it seems like.
Right. Yeah, it does seem like that. And I don't know, you know, I just look in my area, and there are some really good programs up here nationally, college-wise, and it's amazing how many Tommy Johns these kids go through. I mean, they just 4 and 5 on some teams a year. And
wow.
I think they get too strong too soon. You know, that UCL ligament.
Good point. Yeah.
It does not, you know, when you're lifting weights, it's not getting stronger. It's, you know, I believe it's like 35 pounds of pressure that can actually snap that thing. So when you're an 18, 19 year old kid and you're throwing 94 or 5 miles an hour, and everything's synced up perfectly, but, you know, one little, you're late one time, your arm drags, and it just, you know, you do it a few times, slip, whatever it takes, that that's a pretty vulnerable area. So you do want to be strong, but you know, sometimes I just wonder if we're not getting too strong too soon for some of these guys.
Yeah, that's a good point. I do agree with that. I think that they are, that's a well put, they're getting too strong too soon. But we're going to take another quick commercial break, Jim, to hear from our sponsors, Aspire Pediatric Therapy, Clearfield Jefferson Primary Care Associates, PC, Roscoe Hearing and Allergy Care Center, and Dreher Physical Therapy Institute. And Jim, we're going to give you a test at the end of the show to see if you remember those sponsors. We'll be right back with Jim Kaufman. The Claudio Rossano Show, brought to you by Roscoe Hearing and Allergy Care Center, giving you superior allergy care for over 20 years. Located in Dubois, Pennsylvania, please call us for all your hearing and allergy needs at 814-375-0455.
Has your child been diagnosed with an autism spectrum or developmental issue? You're not alone. Aspire Pediatric Therapy has been helping families for over 10 years and has three convenient locations. Through love, laughter, and play, the Aspire team provides occupational speech and feeding therapy using the area's only state-of-the-art sensory motor gyms. Aspire will treat you and your family like family. Don't settle for less. Call 412-474-3566 or check them out on the web at aspirepediatrictherapy.com.
Dr. Brandon Roscoe at Clearfield Jefferson Primary Care Associates PC. Call Dr. Roscoe at 814-503-8070. Great guy, somebody who I've had a great opportunity to meet, and I appreciate him and his sponsorship. And again, somebody you should definitely look into in his practice. Dr. Brandon Roscoe, Clearfield Jefferson Primary Care Associates PC, 814-503-8070.
Dreher Physical Therapy Institute is a leader in the field of outpatient physical therapy, specializing in orthopedics and sports medicine. With over 30 locations in Pennsylvania and one conveniently located in Wexford, Pennsylvania, we are excited for the upcoming opportunity to expand in the local Pittsburgh market. Our therapists are dedicated to compassionate care and superior results and are ready to serve all your physical therapy needs. For more information or to request an appointment, visit us on the web at www.dreherpt.com/locations.
Okay, we're back again with Oakland A's scout Jim Kaufman. Jim, tell us a little bit about the organization. I mean, they're always in the thick of things. And that does start at the top. And even when teams aren't so good, there's some organizations out there that haven't done well in a while. And I blame it. Again, it starts at the top. But Oakland is always in the thick of things. Tell us a little bit about the organization.
Well, I mean, not only do I work for them, I'm also a big fan of theirs, just about the way they go about their business. And finding these players that that have value, and seems like they have always done a pretty good job of having good chemistry in the clubhouse, and having the coaches that allow them to kind of be themselves. And I think it's just a great atmosphere for any player to go play. You know, obviously they get criticized for the old ballpark and things like that, but you know, like I said earlier, sometimes that us against the world mentality, is not a bad thing. And I think there's a little bit of that in Oakland, just because of the, you know, we never have the big free agent signing and whatnot, but, you know, we always produce pitching. I think they've got, you know, I spent 10 years on the other side of player development. I know what goes on there. And Keith Littman, who's been our farm director for 30 some years, is just about as good a person as you can find on the planet. And he is, you know, he's sturdy, stable, everything that goes through those guys. You know, there's never any panic, and there's just camaraderie, and they all speak the same language. And from the AAA pitching coach to the single A guys are all, you know, on the same page. And, you know, that comes from the top. Those guys have just done a great job of, you know, keeping continuity, and the scouting department's the same way. You've got the same guy, Eric Kubota, has been there for a long time and has been the scouting director for a long time. And it's fun to go to these drafts and whatnot, because we're all really good friends. It's kind of amazing. And I actually heard a new scout this year who's an older guy. And after the first day, we were driving back to the hotel, and he said, "I've never been in the scout room that was that positive in my life." And this guy had been scouting for 30 some years. So, and it kind of made me stop and think, like, you know, we're pretty lucky just to all be friends and be on the same page. And it's been fun to work for him. You know, I would honestly probably do it for free.
we'll edit that out.
Yeah.
It seemed like there's not a, and I could be wrong, but it doesn't seem like there's a whole lot of turnover in the organization, where a lot of these scouts, as you know, they bounce around here for 4 or 5 years, and somebody, a scouting director, takes over, gets rid of everybody, brings in his guys, and just a lot of turnover, but it seems like Oakland is pretty consistent, pretty steady. Am I right?
Yeah. I mean, the same guys were in place when I started, and I think I've been scouting now. This will be my 13th year. So, you know, just we, you know, we've lost some good talent, and, you know, our assistant scouting director went with the Giants, and he's now their scouting director this year, Mike Holmes. And I know that was a big loss for us. But, you know, the guys at the top are still there, and it's kind of nice to, it's nice to know, you know, the people that are up there making those decisions, and they have your best interest
right
in place.
A couple more things, Jim. First of all, you know, talk about your family. I mean, again, I haven't seen them in years, but beautiful wife, beautiful kids. Tell us about what they're doing now. They're all doing something very interesting. And so tell us a little bit about your wife and kids.
Well, yeah, it starts with my wife. I mean, she obviously, all those years and time I'm away, she did a great job of raising my kids. And, you know, they grew up like any parent. You worry about, you know, where they're at and what they're doing. And I had two kids that were pretty focused on what they were doing growing up. And so they stayed away from, you know, all the bad things out there pretty much. And
right.
they're very focused on their careers right now and what they're doing. And my daughter was in ballet, and she went, you know, she went to a few different places around the country. She'd been pretty much all over. And then after she graduated high school, she went to the Nashville Ballet Company and spent 2 years there. And was almost ready to come home and had a stress fracture, and they wanted her to stay there and rehab. And so during that period of 2 months of rehab, she met a guy, and Will, and they are getting married next summer. And he's wonderful, and he's great, and it's everything. It's you know, if he wasn't, I would really be a mess. But he made it a little easier on me. But
right.
I lost her. I lost her to a guy back in Nashville, and they're you know, they just bought a house, and they're remodeling and doing all that. And she's working, teaching at a Montessori school. And my son, you know, he played 3 years of college baseball and signed with the Diamondbacks, played a couple of years in the minor leagues. And once he was finished playing minor league baseball, he came home and went to school and started, he basically changed his degree. So now he's in graphic arts design. He's a very good artist, which my wife's side of the family, they were all artists
right.
and whatnot. Her dad was kind of a famous guy up in the Northwest and California. And so he took that path, and he's doing really well with it. He's got a little side business going. And then he coaches for a place called Mountain Baseball out of Hillsborough, Oregon, which is a little suburb outside of Portland. And in fact, he's at Omaha, in Omaha right now with a team that he's coaching, and they're playing in a big tournament back there. So he stays busy in baseball, stays in it, and you know, he's doing his art and whatnot. And I couldn't be prouder of my family. They're all doing things that they want to do. My wife has an art studio for kids. She's been doing that for about 15 years, where she has her own location, and I think 4 or 5 full-time employees. And it's just a really nice place for kids and families to go create art. And it's a little oasis that it's fun to even go, for me to go down there and try to
right.
make something.
Yeah. Well, again, I'm happy to hear that. And as I said, seems like yesterday that I seen those little kids and your wife, and I'm so glad that they're doing well. And again, it does start at the top, and your wife and you are two wonderful people, and I can see why your kids are doing so well. But we're going to have one more thing here, Jim, the Dreher Physical Therapy Lightning Round. So I'm going to ask you a question, and give me a quick answer here. Your favorite player of all time?
Oh, my goodness. Bob Gibson, maybe?
Okay.
For some reason, when I grew up, I was I loved the way that guy competed, and you know, I was a Palmer fan, and Pete Rose fan when I was growing up, and some of those guys, Lou Brock as well. So I was obviously a Cardinal fan.
Yeah, they definitely had some personality back then, which is one thing I don't see a whole lot of today, but that's another topic. Player who you coached that improved the most?
That's probably Rich Harden. He had incredible talent, but he struggled throwing strikes, and I had him for just a little bit. He figured it out on his own, but and he was a very competitive kid out of Canada, and he had a pretty good career until the injuries just caught up to him. But I would say probably Rich Harden.
Favorite baseball memory?
Oh boy. We won the Texas League one year when I was coaching. That was a good memory. Frankly, I mean, even when I had the team in Portland, you know, we won a lot of city championships, and you know, no matter what team you're on, what level, if you win a championship with friends, it's pretty memorable. So
sure.
That was probably one of them, playing, you know, my first game in AAA, being as nervous as I was and still being able to walk out on the mound and throw a baseball was pretty memorable.
Right.
As well. So like, I still remember that like it was yesterday. So
if you were the commissioner of baseball, what would you change?
What would I change? That's a great question. I would, I don't know if I'd change much. I've always thought maybe take first base and lower it closer to the ground so there's not so many ankle injuries.
I agree with that. I like that. And you and I never talked about that. We've never talked about that, but I think that's something that I've been thinking about for years, ever since I got hurt. Yeah.
Oh, I've seen it too many times and watched guys lunge and hit that thing. It's, you know, more netting. I watched for years people getting packed out of ballparks. I think they're doing a little bit better job right now, but those minor league parks, some of them are still not that safe. And I would cringe when my kids were there, and I always made sure they were behind netting because on a nightly basis, when you're watching that, you see too many people get injured by flying objects.
I'm with you. So. Designated hitter, in or out?
I'm for it now. I don't think I was at one point, but I think might as well go both leagues. And some of these DHs are, you know, they're the, you know, like the Big Poppies and those guys. They're the personalities of the league. They've spent their time, and I think it's good if they can stay employed for a few more years, bring the fans.
And I think, if I'm not mistaken, I think Serge just broke his nose bunting a ball.
That. Yeah. Yeah, during a little batting practice, it looked like it might have been the first pitch. He wasn't really intent on making a nice bunt. It looked like he was just kind of letting the guy get warmed up, and it ricocheted off and hit him in the nose.
I'm sure he wants the DH. Last question, if you were not in baseball, what would you be doing?
Hopefully something with the outdoors. Maybe a fishing guide, working for the forestry department. obviously that's my, the study of birds. What is that? Ornithology. That's kind of a passion.
Bird studier.
Bird watching. All that. love being outside. I like being in a boat. I like being at the coast. I like anything outdoors. So, I wasn't built for sitting in front of a computer.
Right. That's right. Well, Jim, we haven't seen each other in a while, but we do talk and text, and you're thought of all
sure
the time,
do.
And we definitely have to somehow see each other again. But you were always, as I said at the top of the show, always great with me and my dad and my wife, and hopefully one of these days you get to actually meet my daughter. And so you're always a great guy, and anybody who comes across your path loves you because of the type of person you are. And I've always appreciated our friendship and so happy for you. Everything that's happened in your career, you've certainly earned and deserved. And I wish you and your entire family all the best. And again, really appreciate you being on the show. And I appreciate your friendship, as I said, more than you know.
I appreciate your friendship as well. It's been great. It has been way too long. So let's some way figure this out and make that happen here soon. So it'd be great.
All right, brother. Sounds good.
Always love you and your family.
As I said, you're a family friend, and we love you. And again, appreciate you taking time to be on the show. And I'm sure we'll have you on again when the A's win the World Series, which hopefully they will. I pull for the A's because of you. My friend Rick Mitchell, who does the introductions for the show, he was always a huge Oakland A's fan. And back in the 70s when they were who they were, the La Russa group, I always enjoyed them as well. But now that you've been with them so many years, I always pull for them. So
again, they're easy to root for, you know.
Oh yeah,
an underdog.
No question.
Each year, so fun.
Yeah, no question. But again, Jim, thanks so much for being on the show. Great job, and we'll talk soon for sure.
Thanks, Claudio.
All right, brother.
Thanks, Adam.
Okay, everybody. Hope you enjoyed the show. I know I certainly did. I want to thank our sponsors, Aspire Pediatric Therapy, Clearfield Jefferson Primary Care Associates, PC, Roscoe Hearing and Allergy Care Center, and Traeger Physical Therapy Institute in Wexford, Pennsylvania. As always, I want to thank Rick Mitchell, Adam Zaluf, our producer. Thank our very special guest, Jim Kaufman, Major League Scout with the Oakland A's. Continue to subscribe to the show. You guys have been sending great emails, all positive. I really appreciate that. Again, you can hear the show on ClaudioRalsano.com, Spotify, Stitcher, and iTunes. Upcoming guests will be a lot of the several guys from the 1979 Pittsburgh Pirates. They're celebrating an anniversary here shortly. Vinny Paz, former five-time world champion boxer. That's going to be a great interview. That'll be emotional for me because, like I said, Vinny and I have been friends for a lot of years, and Vinny's meant so much to my life, so that'll be a great interview. Again, we'll have some authors on and some other great guests. So appreciate you guys listening to the show. Continue to listen to it. And as always, thank you, Mom and Dad. Talk to you guys soon. Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening to the Claudio Rossano Show, brought to you by Aspire Pediatric Therapy, Clearfield Jefferson Primary Care Associates, PC, and Roscoe Hearing and Allergy Care Center. Be sure to tune in next time on ClaudioRossano.com.
Claudio Rossano Show, brought to you by Roscoe Hearing and Allergy Care Center, giving you superior allergy care for over 20 years. Located in Dubois, Pennsylvania, please call us for all your hearing and allergy needs at 814-375-0455.
Has your child been diagnosed with an autism spectrum or developmental issue? You're not alone. Aspire Pediatric Therapy has been helping families for over 10 years and has three convenient locations. Through love, laughter, and play, the Aspire team provides occupational speech and feeding therapy using the area's only state-of-the-art sensory motor gyms. Aspire will treat you and your family like family. Don't settle for less. Call 412-474-3566 or check them out on the web at AspirePediatricTherapy.com.
Dr. Brandon Roscoe at Clearfield Jefferson Primary Care Associates, PC. Call Dr. Roscoe at 814-503-8070. Great guy, somebody who I've had a great opportunity to meet, and I appreciate him and his sponsorship. And again, somebody you should definitely look into in his practice. Dr. Brandon Roscoe, Clearfield Jefferson Primary Care Associates, PC, 814-503-8070.
Dreher Physical Therapy Institute is a leader in the field of outpatient physical therapy, specializing in orthopedics and sports medicine. With over 30 locations in Pennsylvania and one conveniently located in Wexford, Pennsylvania, we are excited for the upcoming opportunity to expand in the local Pittsburgh market. Our therapists are dedicated to compassionate care and superior results and are ready to serve all your physical therapy needs. For more information or to request an appointment, visit us on the web at www.dreherpt.com/locations.